Furry is what I feel. Who's that guy who got sliced up in a drug deal?
It's me again. The SFED podcast number 10. SFS for life. Fuck having kids and a wife. Yeah, I was a bit pissed off with my rant on the last podcast. I told you, depends on what mood you're in, whether you're going to say what you say. Obviously, I went on a big, nice walk this weekend and did some daredevil things, because I've always been a daredevil. I went to Helidale, this woodland, did a bit of hunting. I'm a Colt 47. And did a bit of daredevil things on this 40-foot embankment. I basically told Hershey to stay on the other end, because she couldn't, because she would have died if she walked across the pole. And I said, I'm going to do this, because I always like doing detrifying daredevil things that are like dangerous and could involve death. It was very high, it was a little pipe, and I basically ran across it, not looking down, because if I fell down I would have died. So I basically ran across it and then basically looked just at the other end and then done that. And then I proceeded with Hershey to climb down the embankment straight to the river and then did some target practice. I got some deodorant solvent. No one was around, so no one got hurt. Put it on the other side of the river where the waterfall was, and rapidly blasted my Colt 47 full gas on, and the solvent ended up exploding. It just went boom. No one heard it, so no one got hurt. No birds, no creatures, no animals. The only animals that might have got hurt is when Hershey Kit went out of sight and might have eaten them. It's a good place to go, you know, to get out of the city. Helidale, if you know it. It's got a great tea room, coffee, art gallery place there, but next to it is pretty infamous. It's got loads of abandoned warehouses and abandoned passages. It's got a one thing, entrance whale and derelict mills called the Big Bad Wolf Do Not Enter. There's a lot of signs of SFS for life that are graffitied up on there. Yeah, well, I just did a 6-hour walk yesterday and then went to the Birches and had a nice Pepsi, because I don't drink alcohol anymore, and smoked on my vape, and had a great exercise. I also, last night watched, for the first time, All Eyes on Me, the Tupac film. I can't really review it, and a lot of people criticised it. I gotta say, it's what I expected it to be. I didn't expect it to be really good, like an epic, because you cannot make an epic out of Pac's life. You cannot put all the aspects that Tupac life on a 2-hour film. It's impossible to do. The only way to make a magic out of Tupac's life as an actor is to basically make a TV series, like, say, Breaking Bad, you know, starting from the beginning of his life to the end, until after his death, with a murder investigation, stuff like that. Basically, it was entertaining. The second hour was a lot more entertaining than the first, because he had all the nice bitches, and it was entertaining being on stage and watching him around all them nice women. And he picked up the film from after the first hour. The thing I liked about the film was actually the documentarian of, because he went off that prison interview that I did in 1995. That famous prison interview that I did. basically. And the first hour of the film is basically in prison doing the interview, but reflecting on his life. A lot of people complained about the skip scenes, because there were a lot of skipped scenes in the movie, and I can understand that. But what you got to understand is they did that because, again, how are you going to fit a movie with Tupac's life in 2 hours? You know, it's impossible. At the end of the day, I watched it on the internet, so I haven't watched that at the cinema yet, so I haven't enjoyed the full experience of it. I'd rate it better than Notorious. Now, probably at the pictures, I'll say it's just as good as Straight Outta Compton, I'd say. Basically. The actor did well, as best he could, to be Tupac, but obviously no one can be Tupac. Everyone knows Tupac's personality and his swagger and everything. If you're a real Tupac fan, you know what he looks like. Really, they should have done some skits on the real Tupac throughout the movie. That would have probably made it a bit better. The high spot of the movies was basically the entertainment aspect of it, and after he got shot and his death row days, basically. Because that's probably why they skipped scenes so much before he went on to death row, because on death row he accomplished a lot. And that was when he was big. Basically, before death row, he was not number one rapper in the world. He weren't that big. But when he joined death row, Pac was on top of the world. And basically, everyone think he was on death row for years because of all the stuff that he did on death row. But obviously, he was only there for 11 months. I think the parts that I didn't like about it was the Hail Mary concert, because obviously he never performed that song because Machiavelli didn't get released till after his death. So I thought, what the fuck's going on here? What is LT Hutton thinking? By if you were around in them days, why would you get him to perform Hail Mary? And should you got him to perform some of his other songs on that concert instead of his commercial ones? Because like I said, my favourite Pac songs are not his commercial ones. If you read my Google Plus, I'll tell you what my favourite Pac songs are. Songs like Pain, stuff like that. It was what I expected. I weren't disappointed or anything. I know a lot of hardcore Tupac fans are, and I'm a hardcore Tupac fan, but at the end of the day, I couldn't expect it to be what it would be with the time slot and everything. They did the best. That's all I got to say about that, really. Watch out the pictures, try and get a better experience of it. Anyway, today's topic I'm going to talk about is serial killers in my writings of them. Because you know a lot of Jimmy B shit. Why I'm Jimmy B. A lot of Jimmy B shit is based on serial killers. Now, most infamous serial killer. One of the most famous ones, obviously, is Charles Manson. But he's not a serial. Charles Manson was never a serial killer. He only killed two people, and that was over drug deals. He never actually killed anyone himself. He was more of a cult leader and had a twisted philosophy of helter skelter and the delusional philosophy he had, which I don't know if he believed in that or not. I believe he committed them, sent them girls to commit them murders because he was angry because he didn't get a record deal. And basically, he fed them LSD and brainwashed him to thinking he was Christ and whatever, and the war's coming. He didn't fucking believe that, probably, because he didn't take much. He didn't probably take any LSD. If he did, it was in small doses. And basically, that's why he killed that. He had grudges against them, because he didn't accept him in the music, because he tried hard to be a music star. Spent half his life in prison, and that's why he did it. And then his followers were so brainwashed that they thought they were fighting this war where they blame it on the Black Panthers, the whites would go to war, whiteies would go to war with the blackies, and then whole fucking helter-skelter judgment day would happen. Then he'd go hide out in a secret desert somewhere where he was staying at his little ranch. I don't think he believed that shit, to be honest. Charles Manson, I think his followers did, but he just did it out of anger, basically, because he probably didn't want to get his hands dirty. So Charles Manson is overrated. A lot of a serial killer doesn't come close to a lot of them. I mean, the fact is, most serial killers, the events that happen in their lives that makes them kill, basically. Whether they're abused as a child, society, they say no hope in the future, society rejects them, been terribly bullied at school, and have no family, you know, that typical psychology for a killer, basically. Got nothing to lose, no future to look forward to. Had a bad childhood, been abused a lot. Basically, it's twisted their minds up so much that, you know, they either turn to suicide or homicide. And usually it happens, people have bad childhoods and usually get over it. Serial killers probably have bad childhoods, but then something goes wrong in their adult life as well, and that's when they just take enjoyment out of hurting people. And a lot of them are antisocial, so they can't have relationships with women, which I'm not very good at myself. They get sexual pleasure out of rape or necrophilia or whatever you want to call it. Was born to kill crap is really very rare. I'll say the only person that had it in his genetics to born to kill was Jeffrey Dahmer, because he came up normal. He came up in a middle class family and had friends at school and come up in a normal area, lived in a nice area. But something in his mind made him do what he did. His mind was fucked, basically. So how can the judge say that he was sane? Because he would not say, he might have known what he's doing, but the guy was fucking insane. Right? The guy took pleasure of fucking eating humans and fucking them after they're dead. And at an early age, was fascinated with the insides of things. He was obsessed with the insides of animals, humans, and sexually got aroused off dead people, basically. The way he killed him was not in a violent way, so I wouldn't say he was an evil, sadistic, angry killer. He wasn't. He was just had something terribly fucked up wrong with his brain. He was fucked in the head, basically. He should have been in hospital. He wouldn't have died. I don't think he was in control of it, to be honest. He was fucked up. The guy was fucked up in the head. He had no psychiatrist or anything help him, put him on any medication or anything. That he was wired that way from day one. I believe Jeffrey Dahmer was born to kill. I believe, if you want to put born to kill category on any serial killer, it is Dahmer. Because That's how he was wired. He viewed humans as objects, eating them is what he liked. He couldn't socialize with a human, but his favorite food was human. And he preferred to have sex with, he was homosexual, but he preferred to have sex with his victims after their death. But he never killed violently. He always gave him them sleeping pills, heavy sleeping pills, mixed in with the drink. And obviously, he was an alcoholic as well. He probably knew he was fucked up, but couldn't control it, so he drank a lot to try and take the pain away to knowing how fucked up he was, because he was an alcoholic. But I won't put him as most evil serial killers. He was obviously the most famous one, one of the most famous ones. But as Born to Kill category goes, Jeffrey Dahmer definitely is in that category. Now you got stupid, overrated serial killers like the Son of Sam. Son of Sam was a fucking bitch. Come on now. All the murders that were happening in New York at the time, the mafia murders, the black-on-black murders and all that shit. All that Son of Sam wanted to do was basically get known. He wanted to get caught straight away, so that's why he shot people in New York, because all the crime was going on around him in New York. New York was a fucking war zone at that time. So basically, what happened was he shot his victims basically to get attention. And really he didn't, because all he did was kill seven people. And he gets this fucking legendary name, Son of Fucking Sam. Come on, fuck that man. Joe Rifkin was a New York serial killer. He's much more infamous than the Son of Sam. He killed 17. Come on now. And Rifkin was basically an underrated serial killer. If you want to go in the Hall of Fame of serial killers, he would probably in New York. And the East Coast version of serial killers be. Because, not like some of Sam, Joe Rifkin didn't want any attention. He always was rejected, basically. And he was a loser. Pretty much like me. Had a down and out, dropout job and never had a relationships with any women, so he did that with prostitutes, and then basically he weren't good at anything but killing, so he just killed because he thought he was good at it, so he took pleasure in killing people to know that he was good at something, so it gave him some pride. How he got caught was unfortunate, because he got caught with the police officer chasing him, and not because there was a body in his car, just because of the registration on the car, basically. Registration plates were off. If I was Joe Rifkin, I would have just pulled over and said, "Oh, sorry, officer," act calmly, just like Jeffrey Dahmer did when he killed his first victim when he was 18, and the car stopped him because he was driving erratically. I can't remember why, yeah, driving erratically, and basically he acted calm, and there was the body of Stephen Hicks, yeah, Stephen Hicks. There's pieces of his body wrapped in garbage bags, which Jeffrey Dahmer disposed of. Now you're talking, if you're going to talk homicidal Hall of Fame, don't put Gary Ridgway in there, because Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer, could have been caught straight away, right? And all this bullshit about David Riker being this fucking hero, if you've watched The Catch of the Green River Killer on documentaries, police in Seattle weren't fucking bothered. Because they were prostitutes, right? and I couldn't give a shit. I don't care what they say. Gary Ridgway was driving the same car, right? He was on the same places all the time when the police were surveilling it, in between the heyday of the murders, in between 1982 and 1984. And same pickup truck coming by, same description, everything. Gary Ridgway was always there. They could have caught him straight away. They had so much evidence that could have done that, but they couldn't be fucking bothered to apprehend him. Gary Ridgway weren't intelligent, he was thick as fuck. He got a job just painting trucks. So he's not... He got away with it just because the police, that police's fault why he got away for a long time. Different with the BTK, who was actually clever and methodical with his murders and fit into society a lot. And he got away for quite a while. Other underrated ones, Tommy Lynn Sells. He got away with it for a while, basically, because he killed in different ways and drifted about America. That's why most serial killers happen in America, because it's a very easy thing to do in America, because it's so massive, the country, you can drift around state to state, killing people in different ways, and easily get away with it. And especially back then in the 80s and 70s, it was easy. If you had killing in you, all you have to do is drift around from state to state and kill people, like, say, Henry Lee Lucas did. And different method each time. And you're never going to get caught. And the thing is, two different people, not going to put the modus operandi on you, are they? So, you kill someone, stab them, whatever, shoot them. With a revolver, and next time shoot them with a shotgun, or strangle them with a rope, set them on fire, woo! Or feed them to the rats. Talking about that, no scariest serial killer, not a serial killer, but a hitman for the mafia, Richard Kuklinski. No, he weren't a serial killer, he's a hitman, but obviously he's the most scary one. Because you wouldn't want to fuck with him. Most serial killers are cowards, okay? They're soft motherfuckers. But Richard Kuklinski was one big, tough motherfucker. And the last person on earth you ever wanted to mess with. And if he was after you, and if he was after me, I'd shoot myself in the fucking head. Because he killed. He didn't give a fuck about anything. Richard Kuklinski would kill the hardest of the hardest of the mafia. He did not give a fuck. He was a killing machine, probably the most dangerous person ever to exist. Kuklinski, and he killed in the most worst ways. He was definitely a great killer. Great, one of probably the greatest hitman alive. But then again, I won't put him in a category of a serial killer, because what he did was business for the mafia. That was his work. But it was very scary. No, you're a big man, you won't fuck around with Kuklinski. Kuklinski after you, game over, he'd find you. No matter where you were, he would find you. But he's in the hitman category, just like Charles Manson is in the cult leader category. I won't put him in the serial killing category. Serial killers go out there and kill, usually solo, and very rare sometimes, except from Lucas and Ortiz and the Hillside Stranglers. Most of them are solo loners who basically do it for sexual pleasure or hate against the human race, or just for the pleasure of killing. I'd say the most infamous serial killer, I'd say the most ruthless one, evil one, is either David Parker Ray, because of the way he Thai box killer who tortured people with different methods are Richard Ramirez. Richard Ramirez is the most chilling because he was the Night Stalker. And basically, you weren't safe when Richard Ramirez was around because he would just come in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, any house, anywhere, and basically come in, doesn't matter where you lived, he'd come in, torture you. It was a method as well, so. And he believed in the wrong type of satanic beliefs. And basically gone around and started killing his victims, but torturing them. And there's nothing more scary than someone breaking your house at night while you're asleep and you're waking up. And there's Richard Ramirez and the Night Stalker. Tortured families and the kids and basically sexually abused them for hours, ransacked the house and then killed them in a very brutal way. But he tortured them for most of the night. He took pleasure in that, and he took pleasure in raping them a few times, the women a few times before he actually killed them. He was the epitome of darkness and evil. Now, the most famous serial killer, if you thought serial killers, is Jack the Ripper. He never got caught. He's the first serial killer that I heard of. Then you got the Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe. Which then again, he was pretty fucking evil, but he weren't. He killed prostitutes. There's only one person he killed, I think, that wasn't a prostitute. But it was infamous. Close to home. Killed people with a hammer, but mainly vulnerable prostitutes. But he weren't. I won't put him on the top level. Fred West, put him on a higher level. Because of the body count, and he did it and got away with it for nearly 30 years, and him and Rose killed over 35 to 40 people and raped and abused many and buried them in the patio in a secret dungeon where he tortured him and raped him and whatever evil acts that bastard would do. But talking about the most successful, the Hall of Fame serial killer, shot out of Hall of Fame, you put the gold on an expert at what he did. Like militant serial killer. Like Richard Kuklinski was a militant type hitman. You go with the one and only Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was a very clever individual, fit into society very well. What made him kill was basically his hatred for women with black hair and the fact that he was born illegitimate and probably other things. But Ted Bundy was a Republican. He was a politician, he was a lawyer, he was a handsome looking man, but he was an expert thief and very good at what he did. If you want to talk about serial killer, I know it might sound sick. I'm not applauding this man. I'm just saying, if you want to talk about good serial killers, then Ted Bundy is at the top of the list, because basically he perfectly did it. He fit into society, no one suspected him of being anything. He was went to university, He's one of them top, you know, top level guys up there. And basically how he did it was quite clever. With an arm cast on the campuses, do it methodically, premeditated way. Come up to the girls who are walking past with his library law books for his studies and drop them. Basically, a nice looking brunette would pick them up and feel sorry for him, say, "Oh, can you take this to a car? I can't handle these books, these law books." And the woman would feel sorry for him because of his looks and think he's generally injured. Great way of luring the woman to where he wanted. And basically he had a hammer stashed under the front wheel. Soon as the brunette lady went to the car, put the books down quickly, boom, strike back of the head, and removed the seat from the passenger seat to put the unconscious lady in, and so it wouldn't be seen, then drove off to a woodland somewhere or his house where he would brutally murder them and commit necrophilia and all the sick acts that serial killers do. It was basically, he was an control freak who mastered in hiding himself in plain sight. He was clever, he knew it, and he knew that he was clever and he could fit into society, and he killed in different states pretty much in the same way. Sometimes he broke into people's dormitories because he was a master thief as well, and killed them in a brutal way and did what Jeffrey Dahmer did, which was necrophilia. So we're putting out with the most evil and the most, talking about serial killers, I'd say the most up there, probably at the top of the most skillful, accomplished serial killers out there. The only reason why he got caught was over some bullshit, really. He passed out in his car and the patrolling officer come by, basically. And arrested him because he had all his kit in his car. Only takes one little mistake and that's it. And then the woman did get away because this woman that tried to abduct used a different method of pretending to be a police officer, saying your car's been broken into, you're gonna have to go into the station. And the woman was renting his car, but tried to abduct her, but she put up a fight because she was a tough woman and managed to get away. So that mistake months earlier, prior to his arrest, basically caught up with him. And then all these other murders, basically the one in Lake Hammersmith where he murdered 3 women in one day. Quite an accomplishment for a serial killer. The crowded lake on a Sunday afternoon. It's very sunny. And killed 3 people that day. And basically abducted them in plain sight. Basically one of the ladies left the boyfriend and the other lady was just sat there on her own. And he'd use his charm and his cunningness to lure the women to his trap by saying, "Could you help me with this kayak to put on the car?" Then he'd drive up this lane where this isolated woods was, and there was a hut right in the middle of the woods. He'd probably attack them there, take them there, torture them, rape them, do whatever he wanted, had fun in his sick kind of way. And it was a great day for Ted Bundy and that Lake Hammersmith day. But the description of Ted Bundy was put out there. But no one ever expected Ted doing it because he always used to change his appearance. But police connected that after his arrest with Ted. And basically on all these other murders, and then placed him in the places, basically went through his credit cards and all that, and placed him in the places where all the murders happened. And he was, unfortunately, he was constantly there at all the murder scenes. So that's what got him caught, and then he escaped prison twice, which was legendary. And then he went to Florida, and that's when he became sloppy, because he didn't have nothing to lose after that. That's when he started, he lost it, and basically had nothing to lose. Basically killed the women in a savage way in one night killing spree in Florida, and then killed that 12-year-old girl, Kimberly Leach, which was sick, basically. And he, serial killer that kills a child or old lady, I'd say, are the worst. That's why the Moors murderers, Saddleworth Moors murderers, I'm from round, lived round there most of my life. And see, that's all what that area is associated with, is Ian Brady and Myra Hindley. They were the evil, just kidnapped little kids from Manchester and drove them up to the moor. Myra Hindley and Brady both killed them. It's like Albert Fish and Arthur Shawcross. Evil. Killing kids, evil. Killing is evil, but if you're talking in a Kuklinski type of way, he probably had no choice. The way he came up, the lifestyle he was in, killing just became a way of life for him. Didn't feel nothing. A lot of these killers, serial killers, feel great after what they do, usually return to the body, like Gary Ridgway did, Ted Bundy did. And Ted Bundy actually gave a tip to the police about Seattle, about the modus operandi of the Green River Killer, as he returned to the fresh, scope out a fresh body, he'd probably come back there and shag it, whatever. And that's what Bundy used to do. Oh, these sick motherfucking serial killers make me fucking sick. But they inspire Jimmy B and his creativity. Because no one has killed as much as me. No one will ever. Because I go across the world doing it. Burying people in caves, throwing down on mine shafts. You know, I do it in a perfect way. You see, if you're gonna bury a body, there's ways of doing it. Chop them into pieces, put them in a bag with bricks, drive them out to shore, and dump them in the sea. Never get found. Feed them to the pigs, cut them up, feed them to the rats. If there's a road work, say, they're nearly done with the roadworks. You know the schedule, the roadwork system. And say it's their last day doing the roadworks, basically, and they're nearly done. And the last day, you got a body, bury it about 20 foot down, dig a hole, make sure you clean up after it. And then next day they'll be done with the roadworks. Never be found, the body. Never. So any serial killer, that's my advice to you. Because that's what Jimmy does all the time. There's many others that are probably rated higher than the ones that I've mentioned that don't get enough props. There's loads of them. Loads. Probably from different countries, and there's probably loads in ghettos that do it, but just don't get reported because there's so many murders there. No. Probably ones in South Africa. There's what that one in Colombia that did like over 1,000 or something. So there's worse ones. And what I mentioned, they're just the famous ones. And John Wayne Gacy, he's another example. Basically owned his own business, buried his victims under the floorboard. Obviously, yeah, he's one of the most famous ones. He fit into society very well. Real respected in his town, Chicago. Like I said, the motives are very simple. Antisocial, psychopathic, don't have a good childhood, get abused as a child, suffer from a lot of stuff, see no future, rejected by society, and just don't care, look at humans as objects. A lot of people that suffer from a bad childhood and, you know, they're struggling to make it in society and whatever, but most of them don't turn out to be serial killers. Most of them just turn out to be low level thieves, like me, or things like that, you know. So 99% of people that get abused and all that crap do not end up to become serial killers. They're a very rare breed of creatures that hardly exist anymore because of the technology and the DNA. I mean, very hard to get away with it these days unless you follow Jimmy B's options. Jimmy B is the only one that's doing it. Goodly and soundly. And to perfection. And that is my intake on serial killers. I'm like Robert Ressler. I have the psychology of why they do it, what pleasure they get out of it, in a sexual way and in a violent, sadistic way, and usually power. Because sometime in their life, for a long period in their life, they're powerless. And then they want to make up for that. And some want to do it in more of an extreme way, because everyone wants power. But these serial killers, because they were so powerless, want power in such an extreme way that they go over the top and take people's lives. Your life's in my hand, I've got power over your life, type thing. So that's why. But some serial killers like Kuklinski and stuff like that don't feel fuck all. Just do it and whatever. Don't get fazed by it. Just another day. Just like gangbanger killers that do it. Yeah, it's just part of the job. Basically, Navy, Special Forces, part of the job. But then you got your most evil serial killers, and they're not the most categorized most evil. I mean, there's Adolf Hitler and George Bush and Nixon and the Queen and all that are worse, far worse, because they're responsible for the death of millions. And the big drug barons like Escobar, you know, basically. Big drug barons make people's lives miserable and slowly kill them and make millions of pounds doing it. So I'd say they're more evil, to be honest. But yeah, the president, the government, the elite, they're the most evil. Bankers, they're the most evil. They're the biggest killers. I mean, Hitler, what he did, fucking hell. Millions Millions and millions. Government, what they did, millions. It's like Charles Manson said about Nixon, or Nixon, Manson's guilty of this killing. Manson did make a good point in saying, that's coming from you, Nixon. You fucking put the fucking war in Vietnam, you motherfucker. And got thousands, hundreds of thousands of people killed on your watch. Yeah, they're the most evil. Illuminati, they're the most evil, serial, sociopathic killers who sit behind a desk and watch the world crumble. It makes me sick. And so sometimes you have good serial killers that do it for a good reason. Because it's taking out the trash. What I mean by that is, take out people who deserve it. Like people, big drug dealers who make this world a misery, the bankers, the Illuminati, the oppressors, crooked police, kill them motherfuckers. Show no mercy. I only kill this simple now. I would only kill if someone tried to kill me. Or basically, I was in a situation where I couldn't get out of a situation. And if basically they're coming to kill me, or basically they were harassing, trying to extort me or whatever, and I couldn't get out of the situation I'm in, or living in a fucked up place, and you know, for survival reasons, like most people do, will kill. That's why I would kill. I would kill if someone broke into my house, or try to take away my livelihood, or try to kill my dog or family, or putting me in a situation where either long term I could not get them out of my life. They were in my life and destroying my life. And the only way to get the fuckers out of your life is to silence the motherfuckers for good. Or some people that I really just fucking hate. Like my dad. I'd kill him. That is real. I'd kill that motherfucker. And some other motherfuckers as well. But that's a whole different thing. That's enemy shit. Your enemies. If you got a fucking bad grudge against someone, then, you know, can lead to killing. So I'm saying, anyone's capable of doing it. Murder is what makes the world go round. Death is what screens the population, and then a new breed of population comes along. But if I were you, I'd try and not to kill anyone. I'd try to resolve all your problems in a way, peaceful way. And if you do have a problem with a person, or beef, whatever, read the Art of War, Sun Tzu, Move in Silence, prepare to be weak, make yourself, do not go around looking like you're hard, don't create a reputation for yourself, make people think that you're soft, and you don't want any problems with them, and don't act like you got problems with them. And in silence, when the time is right, the big time is right, then you kill. That's the art of murder for me. Anyway, well, I'll never do that. I've never killed anyone before. Never severely hurt anyone before. I've knocked people. I've been knocked out. I've knocked people out in fights. I've been knocked out in fights. They could have resulted in death, obviously, because if you get punched, and you get punched once, I know, outside a pub once, and someone died, it was in the bridge, Staley Bridge, someone got punched in the jaw, fucking landed, they were drunk, and their head landed on the pavement, not a rat, they died. So, you know, can happen though for a fight. Sometimes, just like that. That's why fight grown up fighting, when you're a kid you fight just because you want to prove yourself. And that's how I got into fights every day when I was a kid. But obviously growing up fighting can get brutal, and it's better off if you like fighting and you got a lot of rage in your aggression, use it in a good way by either rapping or mixed martial arts, get into martial arts, get into all that shit. That's the best way. That's the way that I want to do it. Some days I get really angry and say fuck everything, but deep down that's what I want to do. You've got to channel your anger, meditate and get into something creative. Use your rage in a creative way with mixed martial arts. Martial arts, rapping is a good way to do. That's the way to go. Trolling, no. That just makes you look like an idiot. I never commenting on anything because I'm sick of these little trolls who have to fucking take it personal when all it is opinion about someone I don't even fucking know. Makes me sick. So I just not do it. That is what it is. Money is important. I still not got my money back. I will get my money back on someday. Oh yes I will. Oh yes I will. So, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, just email the o.g.esfs662@gmail.com and you'll get all the banter from the podcaster, from the most crazy motherfucker that you can see. I will do some more wrestling season things I post on YouTube. I haven't finished yet with the season one, so I'll get to WrestleMania and I'll do that. I stopped doing that for ages. I'm playing on Injustice, which is a great fucking game, must admit. It's like a movie type game. ECW. Super Crazy versus Tajiri. Yeah. So I'm reading books still. Keep myself occupied. Reading a book on Roy Keane at the moment. Brings a lot of memories back to United days. You know, when I was a fucking diehard fan of Manchester United in the 90s, when I was a little kid in obsessed with football. Shawn Michael, one of the best goalkeepers ever, had a fight with Roy Keane, never knew that. So Sunday to die, so I'm just going to chill to die. Might do a bit of workout and training, take a dog on a little short walk. Not as much exercise as I had yesterday, you know. Oh, here comes Super Crazy. He's on the balcony. What's he gonna do? He's gonna flip. Oh. Lucha Libre style, one of my favorite styles of Mexicano wrestling. Yes. Next podcast is probably going to be a lot of banter about senseless bullshit. Maybe I'll tell a story about Benjamin Winston Hallamelu. The House of Horrors on Narlene. That house has very disturbing history of brutality and darkness.
And the person who originated there was Benjamin Winston Haller Malou.
Hopefully I'll get some guests on the podcast so they can banter with me more and more. But this podcast was about the serial killers and the ratings of them. You can categorize them in so many different ways. Like I told you before, they're the ways of the days, of my days, of what I'm going to do to you in the end of days when the apocalypse comes and SFS will reign supreme and take over this motherfucker. Well, the recent attack on London recently as well. I don't watch the BBC because they're full of shit. In fact, the TV license can't be nice. But there's a fire in a building that the BBC said there was 6 dead, but this woman said there was like 100 dead. Basically, that puts the fear of the Twin Towers, doesn't it? Because that building never went down. And the same fire and impact of that building happened in the Twin Towers. So that's why the Twin Towers was one big fucking inside job by George motherfucking Bush, who should die when I give him poisonous kush. So, my friends and not friends, I have no friends and lots of enemies, and that's how I like it. And the guy that you love to hate, I'm going to take a Viagra, go to the shower now and masturbate. And that is final! And then later on I'm going to go for a back alleyway bash up in a parking lot. Back alleyway bash up in a warehouse, with knuckle dusters and crusty screwdrivers. Whatever I can fucking find, I'll fucking use it. Anyway, I think and I will see you on the next podcast. Bye.